Hello and welcome to Fix That, the podcast by The Fix Media, where we unpack media insight and take you behind the scenes of editorial decision, strategy, and innovation in the industry. I'm Orsi, and I will be your host today. Before we dive in, subscribe, follow, and if you like what you hear, support us at thefix.media. Today we're going to talk about social media and algorithms, how to make the algorithm like us, and do we really need it to like us? We're going to discuss this with Maria Leonova, media manager, consultant in genomics, and CEO of the Tellers Agency. Hello, Maria.
Hi, Orsi. Thanks for having me here. It is a great pleasure.
I'm very happy to have you here as well. So let's get started with the questions then. So what do you think? How can a media outlet strike balance between, let's say, playing the algorithm game, which means optimizing for reach and maintaining editorial integrity? Because right now, I think it's a very tricky question for a media organization.
Well, you know, maybe that's slightly unpopular opinion, but I don't think that the algorithms on the platforms go in a very different direction from the editorial standards, for example. Because by understanding the algorithms, everything you can is just adapt your, for example, posting frequency, decide the format, and understand how your user behaves so that you can choose wisely what type of content or which topic you will prefer to post next time. So in general, for me, it's more about the art of content repackaging in social media rather than algorithm war, as I really frequently hear somewhere, you know, in the media bubble. So yeah, it's more about how well you understand the user behavior, how you can repackage the huge editorial story, how you can divide it into several pieces, and the art of presenting it to the audience, of course, in a slightly short format, but this is your professionalism, of course, to give it with the full of sense.
Based on this, what do you think? What are the common mistakes that you see media organizations make when they're trying to game the algorithm? And what the smarter alternatives that you could recommend?
The biggest mistake when I start working with different outlets, doesn't matter actually in which market that happens, is when they don't use their analytics, for example, Meta Business Suite, if we are talking about the Meta platforms, on a daily basis. The very simple example for that of the consequences from such kind of behavior is when you posted something and it got a huge hype, for example, and you understand that you receive huge reach. And if you don't use analytics today and you don't see what happens to your page, you can't use this opportunity to prolong this hype effect. You will not see that you can repackage this type of content or use this topic for the next 2 or 3 days to make sure that your reach or your engagement level grow a little bit more than an average days. So I would say, just to sum up, that the biggest mistake is to not looking at analytics on an everyday basis. The second is when you don't experiment and you don't use the data to adapt your content strategy. When you see that there are the trends of short video storytelling and you are not doing any kind of effort to start going in this direction. So that's the second thing. And the third one is not understanding of who is your audience and what type of content or topics they like, and even what are the hours of their activity. Sometimes I work with news outlets that start their working day in social media somewhere at 12 p.m. And they are struggling with their traffic. And when we open the analytics, we see that most of their users start their social media day at 7 a.m. And they have active time from 7 a.m. to, let's say, 11 a.m. when they wake up, having breakfast, go to work, etc. Then in the midday, in the afternoon, everyone has their job. And after their job, the people return from home, having dinner with their families, and start using social media more actively again. So the next peak time is from 6 p.m. or 7 p.m. until they go to bed at 9, 10, 11. And when you are news outlet, or doesn't matter what kind of outlet, you need to understand what are the peaks where you need to post the best type of content that, of course, can wait for that, right? Because when we cover, let's say, Putin, Trump, Zelensky negotiations, this type of content can't wait. But apart from that, you definitely need to rely on user behavior. That's the first thing.
You mentioned briefly that it's also a problem if they are not checking the analytics. If there would only be like three metrics to pay attention, what do you think? Which ones would that be?
I would say the first one is definitely engagement rate. And this is a really common mistake where my clients think that reach is more important than engagement. So this is an official statement that engagement more important, because this metric shows how people like your content, how they want to interact with that. This is in terms of how users see it. In terms of how algorithms act with that, they see that when the user somehow engages with your content, this means that the friends of theirs, the other subscribers, people you don't know, they will somehow receive your content in their newsfeed later. And this drives reach afterwards. This means that engagement is a metric number one, and reach is a derivative from the engagement, not the other way around. The second metric I would look at is the video watch duration, because every single platform right now prioritizes short form of the videos, and this is completely true. And for some outlets, video brings even like up to 80% of the whole traffic, and that's absolutely normal. So the popularity of your video and how algorithms will promote them further really depends on how long people watch it. So this is the second metric. And the third one here, it depends on the platform. For example, if we are talking about Instagram, the third metric is subscriber dynamics, I would say. At the same time, subscribers are not that important in Facebook anymore, because everyone receives their content in their newsfeed automatically, and the algorithms give you content based on your likes and your different interactions with the posts of the other pages. This means that you don't need to subscribe anymore. But that's not completely true for Instagram. So for this platform, subscription rate and dynamics is still relevant. But it's not for TikTok. The engagement that is being showed in likes, for example, in TikTok, weighs more, I would say. So these are the three main. And you can see that I'm not talking about reach here at all. Like, of course, this is important. Of course, it needs to grow, but it's always derivative.
You mentioned a couple of platforms. Do you think that there are risks if someone is relying only, like, or heavily only on one platform? Because I know that, for example, in the region where I'm coming from, people are still really focusing on Facebook, which where the trends are going to the other way around, right? Like, Facebook is not really that in anymore. So do you think that it's risky to rely on only one platform?
Or definitely. About like 5 years ago, I worked with one national outlet, which had almost 95% of website traffic that went from Facebook. And my first thing that I told them was that this is too risky for you. And actually that happened. Once the Facebook just changed its algorithms and their traffic dropped to 20, like from 95 to 20. And all of their, you know, all of the audience disappeared in one day. So definitely you need to diversify. Moreover, it's great, but it's a very different topic from today's how to develop your website apart from the social media, because I don't like when editorial teams behave with the social media like social media should be a service for the website. That's not true. They are completely different universes. And if you want traffic to the website, you first need to grow your social media. You need to build them as a separate world with its own rules. And once this world is happy and full of great and loyal audience, only then this platform can share a little bit of traffic with your website. But that shouldn't be the main goal, how I often see it, unfortunately. So yeah, it's definitely risky, and if we are talking about small and medium-sized organizations, I would highly recommend to have at least 2-3 different platforms where you have slightly different but still similar audiences. And if once someone too rich can buy Twitter and rename it to X, you will be in a safe space.
Would you say that maybe, because what I also see from my experience is that lots of, especially small news organizations, they are like a bit understaffed, thinking about, for example, the Facebook page as an extension of the web page. What's your opinion about this? Is it a good concept to think about it as an extension, or even in this case, it should be completely differentiated?
Social media should always be completely differentiated from the other platforms because they have their own rules. And I always compare it with this kind of situation. Imagine, like, let's think of ourselves. You're one person with one body and one mind, but you have different types of behaviors and wills during the day. In the morning, you want to know what happens during your sleep, let's say, and if you are somewhere in Eastern Europe, you're open Telegram. If you're somewhere in Western Europe, you're open your WhatsApp to know the latest news updates. If you want to procrastinate during your working day, you are open TikTok. If you want to know what is happening in your friends' lives, you open, for sure, Instagram probably, and start consuming their stories. That's it. But you are one person, but with different types of behaviors, even during the day. The same happens with our audiences. This is why those who consume your website can be those people, the same people who consume your Facebook, but with different intentions, which means that you should give them the content that they want to consume exactly on this platform.
What do you think? How can small and medium-sized media outlets adapt their content strategies to work with these constantly changing social media algorithm and trends without losing their editorial integrity? Because you already mentioned that that's also key, how they adapt the stories and how they use it for different platforms. So what do you think? What is the best practice on this? How to adapt this?
You know, for when we are talking about small and medium-sized organizations, the first thing that hinders us from the huge success is lack of staff, right? Usually, these organizations can't afford themselves the whole social media department with the designers, video editor, 3 editors of different platforms, and a head of social media who's thinking about strategy, and that's it. So this is one of the main and first bottlenecks that I usually face when work with different organizations. So, and in this regard, I would say that do your best to have at least one dedicated social media manager for at least part-time job, just to make this person be responsible for this direction and be, you know, and that's all what he or she thinks of. And here is my tip, that the best social media managers always born from the great newsfeed editors. So it is really hard. Of course, it's case by case, but in my experience, it is way harder to teach classic journalists to be social media manager, because the type of even video text storytelling is very different. And the classic journalists work with this, you know, the short but calm beginning, then the huge drama somewhere in the middle, then you have your pure ending with some conclusions, etc. But in social media, you work with the inversion. Everything with drama goes in the first 4 seconds, and everything that is not that important goes for the rest 1 minute of your story. And usually journalists are really bad at that. But newsfeed editors, they tend to work with information really quickly. They are always operative. They have the really great reaction, and they have great skill set in adapting information in a short piece of content. So in my experience, if you want social media manager, try to find a news editor and work on it a little bit. But if you don't have such an opportunity, and for example, your news editors or your journalists should work with SMM, the first thing you need to think of is how to avoid different styles in posting, because the whole newsroom is now responsible for social media. How to try to look like our social media being ruled by one person only. And here you need to align and decide on the strict tone of voice. The second thing, how to make strict shifts, like not I wrote this news and I put it on Facebook, but I'm responsible for social media for the next 5 hours in parallel to my website job. And after 5 hours, my colleague takes over that. So the shifts are really important. To understand and to decide who is, even that's not your main job, but still who is responsible at the very end for the social media result. And the last one, of course, you can't compete with the quantity of content of those media who have dedicated social media department. So here you need to make a stake on quality rather than quantity. Look at your analytics and understand what are the most valuable formats and topics that bring you most engagement, most reach, etc., etc. And try to optimize your working schedule, working less, but wiser.
Like in the episode, sounds like we're a great match and we couldn't be happier. If you'd like to strengthen our bond, support us by donating or joining our membership program. That's it. No more interruptions. Back to the episode.
As you said, and probably newsrooms all around the globe know that in reality, small newsrooms are rather understaffed. So what do you think? What would be a realistic and efficient workflow? You already mentioned that it would be a good direction to hire at least one person in half time who's taking care of it. But what do you think? What, like beside this, what's realistic and efficient workflow that you would recommend that would be also suitable for small media organizations?
You mean when we don't have any social media managers and the journalists or editors are responsible? Then again, I will repeat that. Very strict and understandable shifts between the dedicated group of people who will now be responsible for that. The second thing is clear understanding of what topics and formats are mostly liked by our audience, and make a focus on that and don't be frustrated by the flow of information. Because here it is very important to not duplicate your website, because you will catch burnout in a week. If 100 of news appear on your website daily, that doesn't mean that 100 of news should appear on Facebook. So optimize your work, make it wiser a little bit. The third one is be collaborative with the other colleagues. If you have the journalists who work in the fields and who make a story or visuals or something, give them tasks so that your colleagues will bring you content already that is 90% ready. They have the description, they have the content, I mean like a couple of photos from the scene, couple of probably videos, and you just post it. So try to manage the space where you're working and share this responsibility. Also, you can ask your, if this is the format of your media, you can ask your audience to play with the UGC, I mean, user generated content a little bit. When you are lack of resource and you have zero understanding of what you can post next, but you are running out of time, you can ask some questions or your audience for advice. And people, for example, can give you 5 recipes of their traditional cuisine, and this will be your next post. Again, if that aligns with your strategy. Or you can ask them what they think about Trump-Putin meeting. And again, this will be a carousel of angry comments, right? So everything goes in how you can optimize your time and how you can play with the space around you, how you can share the responsibility with other colleagues and even your audience.
What about experimentation? Because what we can also see sometimes that some newsrooms are a bit afraid of experimenting with new formats. So even they know that, for example, short videos are something that eventually everyone will need to do, but they are afraid because, you know, it would take lots of time, lots of energy, lots of resources. So what do you think? Do algorithms actually reward experimentation, or if it's better to be consistent? What's the sweet spot for smaller outlets?
I would vote for both options, but I will explain. So we need to understand that every platform that reveals the new feature, for example, let's say YouTube reveals the option of shorts. And let's imagine that we are in 2020, right? Somewhere there. When the platform reveals a new feature, it puts a lot of efforts into promoting it and checking whether it works or not and how audience reacts on that. And when you see the new feature, you need to do your best to try it, because this is your golden time where algorithms will give you everything they have and all of the attention of this world to promote you using this new feature. So in case you are in 2020 and you are thinking of using shorts or not, of course, yes. Just because even this will be a short period of time, but within a short period of time, you will receive an unbelievable and unexpected attention that artificially will be given to you by the algorithms just because this is valuable for them. On the other hand, talking about routine, here I'm voting for consistency. Especially this works for Instagram, and especially this works for YouTube, where you have very clear rules of the frequency of posting, of the limited number of formats, and the priority of these formats, that we all know that reels are better than carousels. And we also know that carousels are better than single photos. And we also know that stories work a little bit harder with growing your reach and engagement rather than carousel, for example. The same goes for YouTube. If you have one program, let's say, hard talk, yeah, and you reveal it on Friday night and the next hard talk will be revealed on Wednesday, this will confuse the algorithms. So try to stick the same posting schedule. If the same program reveals on Friday, do it on Friday. If you tend to post short on Mondays, do that on Mondays. This shortens the period when algorithms absorb the content that you downloaded. They give you more credibility when they see that you're consistent in it. Also, the experimentation, in my opinion, doesn't make a lot of sense. Let's take an Instagram as an example. When you understand that you are aligned with the world trends where you have 60% of video content just because people really watch video content on your page, 30% of carousels because they are better than single photos, and sometimes you post single photos that occupy 10% of your time and newsfeed. And this works. Where else you should experiment? Just because this is how the statistics told you to do so. There are no space for experiments until we will receive a new feature.
And what about single creators? And what about especially if someone from a newsroom is becoming a single creator? Would you recommend that, or is it not really a good idea because it's going to overlap with the newsroom activity as well? What do you think? Is it because now also single creators can actually earn more attention and also more resources?
You know, I often think of that, and this sounds risky for the media industry in general, because everyone right now is a single creator, even you and me right now. But everything looks as an opportunity until you fail to use it and it becomes a risk for you, right? But if we put jokes aside, we can make a decomposition of the process why the single creators become popular right now. At least because here the classy marketing rule works. People trust people, not brands behind the content, but people. Also because individual creators usually, of course, they don't use any of journalistic standards, and they are expressing the opinions that they have. And when people see that someone has the same opinion as you have, that makes your life easier because it confirms all of your thoughts and beliefs. And let's here maybe remind ourselves about how Fox News started. When they built their strategy, they intentionally wanted to focus on conservatives. And on people who vote for Republican Party rather than Democratic. And on one hand, this hinders you from the global reach or from country reach because you intentionally cut yourself from the 50% of the voters, right, from the Democrats. But on the other hand, when you express all of the thoughts and beliefs that Republicans have, they believe you more, therefore they consume you more frequently. And if we think of this decomposition, we can understand that actually media also can adapt some of the practices, right? For example, if you want to translate or you want to cover some topics with some of the personal opinion, okay, why don't you launch a program or a special rubric led by a person, only a single person from your newsroom? Why don't you simplify your tone of voice to be a little bit closer to a regular consumer, right, as the individual content creators do? Why don't you use more of emotions where it is necessary or possible, right? And why don't you bring more faces into the screen? Because people trust people again. But at the same time, here we are seeing the second risk for the media when the journalists become too big person in the room, right? And sometimes this happens, that a person, like personal brand, becomes more famous rather than media brand. And this is risky for the brand, especially when you have conflicts with this person. And sometimes this hinders you from, I don't know, from firing this person, because this will affect your brand. And in this regard, two things I want to say. First of all, don't let personal brands be more famous than the general brand of your organization, or it's your strategy intentionally, then okay. And the second thing, I'm thinking of how to frame it, that the faces on the screen are not the same as personal brand. Your journalist can tell the story without having a personal background there. But this still works.
We are slowly finishing this conversation. Just a couple of more questions we have. What do you think about, because now also I think if media organizations are following any sort of social media, it's very difficult to not sit up for trends. How to like sustain visibility and credibility in these platforms? Well, basically what, you know, the sensation and the sensational contents are getting in the first row.
Here, I would definitely not blame the algorithms for promoting the sensational content, because everything here lies in our hands and in user behavior. Because platforms promote the content that receives the best engagement level in a short period of time right after the posting. And if your post receives 100 likes in a minute, doesn't matter it's sensational or not, it will be promoted further. And of course, this happens because sensational content is always more popular, just because people react on that, either with aggressive comments or with positive ones, doesn't matter. And here, this is our job to first to understand what brought the sensation here, how we can play around that in the more good manner in terms of the editorial standards, of course, and independent journalism. And here I have a little bit bad news, I would say, because the good guys always work harder, and the same amount of likes and shares that the yellow press, let's say, receive for the one sensational piece of content, the good press will receive for three different pieces of content. But that's how it works. Just because this is the content that user react or not. But you can simplify your way a little bit by focusing on visual content first of all. So if you have, let's say you are covering the high political meeting that gives you an opportunity to talk about the, I don't know, the fate of this world, yes, try to cover that with the list of photos and with the videos first, and afterwards post it as a news from your website. Just prioritize the formats that will more likely bring you more engagement.
We touched this topic a couple of times during this conversation, and for the last question, could you, like, let's imagine that there is a newsroom, already have a couple of social media platforms but haven't been very active on it, but now they decide to try themselves out and maybe see how far they can go on different platforms. Could you provide some basics for these, let's say, the most popular social media platforms for journalists and media? Like, what is the least that someone can do on social media to count as relevant or to just to start it?
So first of all, you need to do a benchmarking and a little bit of spying. Understanding of what your close competitors do. And there are a lot of different free and cheap marketing tools that allow you to spy a little bit of which type of content, how many reach and engagement your competitors have. So highly recommended. That will give you an opportunity to understand what works for the same audience as you will probably have there. and copy not the content strategy, but the approach. You will understand the needed frequency. You will understand probably the types of topics that such audience reacts more often on. And you will understand the percentage of types of format that you need to use. For example, if your close competitors work around video only and they grow constantly, probably this is a winning strategy and you should start your work with the video too. Give yourself at least 2 months to test that. Use analytics on a daily basis. And after 2 months, this will be more or less representative picture where you can understand whether you're going in the right direction or not. Also, how to understand whether you're going in the right direction or not is to evaluate the growth rate in the market and the average growth rate. If I'm receiving 500 subscribers per week, that's okay-ish or not? Am I losing the position? Am I behind the market or not? Try to understand how active your segment is, and that will help you to understand whether your strategy works or not. And of course, don't hesitate to change and don't be afraid to change. The strategy is always a tool that helps you to understand where to go. But this is a life organism and it should be changed based on your audience needs, based on the market trends, based on the algorithm changes, and even your mind.
All right, Maria, thank you so much for these insights, and also thank you for our listeners to listen today.
Thank you so much. It was a great pleasure.
To everyone listening, thanks for tuning in to Fixed. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast, follow The Fix online, and yes, we're now also on TikTok. Want to support our work? Visit thefix.media and explore our new membership program.